Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Let's look at this from the Contemporary English Version, Deuteronomy chapter 30. They'll bring it up here on the screen. Verse 15. It says, today I am giving you a choice. You can choose life and success or death and disaster. I am commanding you to be loyal to the Lord, to live the way he has told you, and to obey his laws and teachings. You are about to cross the Jordan River and take the land that he is giving you. If you obey him, you will live and become successful and powerful. Isn't that awesome? If you obey the Lord, I'm going to say that again. If you obey him, this is Moses speaking by the Holy Spirit to the people of Israel, but it was written in the Word of God for us as well. And he says, if you will obey him, you will live and become successful and powerful. On the other hand, you might choose to disobey the Lord and reject him. So I'm warning you that if you bow down and worship other gods, you won't have long to live. Now, I call the sky and the earth to be witnesses that I am offering you this choice. The choice is yours. Will you choose for the Lord to make you prosperous and give you a long life, or will he put you under the curse and kill you? Choose life. Be completely faithful to the Lord your God. Love him and do whatever he tells you. The Lord is the only one who can give life, and he will let you live a long time in the land that he promised to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This word is just as true today for you and I as it was for the children of Israel there in the wilderness being taught by Moses. The word is a living word. It's alive. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this word is true today. If you obey the Lord, if you love him and follow him, he says he's gonna cause you to live long on the earth, be successful and powerful. Isn't that good? So, you know, if we see things in our life that look just the opposite of that, we see the curse and we don't see success, we see one failure after the other, and instead of power, we see weakness, what do we need to do? We need to sit here and say, well, I guess that's just God's will for me, and just surrender to it? Or recognize, no, God's got bigger and better and greater things for me. He's got a long and happy and successful life prepared for me. And if I will follow him, he will lead me into victory. Now, I might be in what looks like a mess now, but I'm not going to die a mess. I'm going to follow the Lord my God and obey him. I'm going to obey him. I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to love him more than I love the world. I'm not going to love the world. I'm going to love the Lord. That means I'm going to put the Lord above whatever the world would be calling me or tempting me to do, or whatever my flesh would like. I'm going to follow the Lord, which is being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, obeying him. And man, if we'll do it, look at the guarantee. This is a money-back guarantee. I mean, this is from God. A total guarantee. This is what he's guaranteeing us. You do this, and this is how it's going to go. This is how you're going to end up. I'm going to walk in these promises. How about you? I want to walk in what the Lord has promised us. I want to walk and enjoy a long, prosperous, healthy life. And man, we've been looking at scriptures, and they're just so good. I'm going to roll through them quickly, some of the scriptures I hit last week. And this is just a few that I hit last week, about eight in all. Isaiah 40, verse 30, he says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Over in Job chapter 5, verse 26, in the contemporary English version, it says, you will live long and your body will be strong until the day you die. How are you going to die? Strong, strong and healthy. Job 33, 25, the CSB translation, it says, then his flesh will be healthier than in his youth, and he will return to the days of his youthful vigor. See, again, that's your strength being renewed, being restored to your youthful vigor. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Hear my son and receive my sayings, and years and the years of your life will be many. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. So notice, God's will for us is a long life. And to have your life cut short is to die prematurely. In other words, before the time that God would have for you to die. God doesn't want you to die having not lived a long life. And yet, people do die prematurely, don't they? But that's not God's will. We see it all over the Bible. That is not God's will. It's not his will for us to die young. He wants us to live a long life. But how long is long? Is a good question to ask. Exactly how long is long? Let's look at Psalm 90. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. The whole psalm is good. But we're going to look at... Now maybe I have to go back and read verse 1. Let's look at verse 1. To get in its context, he says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So if we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, if we're staying close to him, if we're loving the Lord with all our heart, he says, we're going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 10, no evil shall befall you. Man, I like that. Oh, hallelujah. We can go to bed at night and know no evil will befall me. No evil will befall me. Neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. No plagues. No terrible diseases. No sicknesses. They won't come near your dwelling. Praise God. So that's not only you, but that's your household. It's not even going to get in your house. Thank you, Jesus. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Not just some or a few, all your ways. To keep you in all your ways. Verse 12, they shall bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Have you set your love on him? He says, if you set your love on him, he will deliver you. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Everybody say long life. Now, again, we keep this scripture after scripture of promises concerning us having a long, long life. Now, if you come back here to one chapter, chapter 90 of Psalms, this is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And he says in verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Let's jump down to verse 7. He says, for we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So look, here in the Word of God, God actually gives us some numbers. Here we're talking about long life. How long is long? And here he talks about living to about 70 or 80 years of age. Did you see that? Verse 10. He says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. So a lot of folks have looked at that, and they've concluded that, well, you know, God has promised us 70 to 80 years of life. So a long life would be about 70 to 80 years. And, of course, you look out into the world, and I think most people would agree with that. Yeah, you live to be about 70 or 80. And that's average. That's normal. That would be an old age. That would be a long life. And yet, if you just look at it in its context, if you look at all the scriptures here in this chapter of Psalm 91, he talks about being consumed by the Lord's anger. He talks about their sins, their secret sins, their iniquities being held against them. And he talks about their life full of labor and sorrow. Here he's talking about judgment. He's not talking about a blessing. He's not talking about that this is the will of God that man live to be about 70 or 80 years of age. He's saying actually that really for your life to die at 70, 80 years of age is really for your life to be cut short. Your life is really getting cut off. And really, that's the result of falling short of God's best for your life. How many people know the children of Israel in the wilderness, that first generation that came out of Egypt, they did not fulfill God's purpose for their life. In fact, they were so rebellious that God told them up front that they were all going to die in the wilderness and that they were not going to enter into the promised land. That's the group of people that Moses is talking about. And if you look over there in Numbers chapter 14, we can see why he comes up with 70, 80 years of age. Over in Numbers 14 and in verse 28, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have murmured against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell. So notice what the Lord says here to the children of Israel. He says, just as you've spoken, so it's going to be done unto you. Of course, Jesus tells us there's a spiritual law. Over in Mark 11, he tells us that you'll have whatever you say. So these people were murmuring and complaining, and they were saying how, man, we're going to die out here in the wilderness. You know, we're going to die by the sword. Our carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness. And so God just turns around and says, yeah, you're going to have exactly what you said. Bunch of murmurers. Bunch of gripers. You refuse to say what I'm asking you to say. You refuse to declare my promises and believe my promises. And you just continue to murmur against me, speak contrary to life. And so he tells them, because of that, this is how it's going to go for you. All those 20 and above are going to die in the wilderness over the next 40 years. So if you add that up, that's why these people died at 70, 80 years of age. It's because they were murmurers, complainers, whiners, and not believers. They did not trust in God. They did not obey him. They were not following him. And that's why they died at 70, 80 years of age. And yet we got it in our mind that 70, 80, you know, that'd be great. If I could live to 80, that'd be great. That'd be a long life. That's not God's best. It's not God's best. You say, what would be God's best? Well, if you go over to Genesis chapter 6, you remember before the flood of Noah, people were living very long on the earth, like 900 years, 800 years, hundreds of years people lived before the flood of Noah. But then after that flood came, things changed dramatically, and people's lifespan began to get less and less and less very rapidly. It began to decrease. Next thing you know, 300. This one lived to be about 200. This one lived to be 180. And it just kept coming down to just about the 120 area, which is where Moses died. He died at 120 years of age. And we see why that is. Over here in Genesis, the 6th chapter, in verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, this is a major reduction in years in comparison to those that had been living before the flood. God spoke this out, and then the flood came, and men begin to die much sooner in life. But if there is a promise of long life, if there's a number attached to that, it's right here. It's 120 years. It's 120 years. Not 70, not 80, 120. How many people can raise their expectations? I know some of you are a little disappointed. You're going to have to put off your nursing home plans, and I understand you had one already picked out, some of you, and I know you're going to have to disregard that, and I'm sorry about that. But you'll get over it, and it'll be worth it. Just go ahead and get over it, and let's just get our minds renewed and stop thinking like the world thinks. Stop looking at a bunch of people that do not know God, are not plugged in to the power supply. They're not connected to life. And even some of them are still making it out beyond 70 and 80 years of age. Some of them got over into the hundreds. You know, there's thousands of people in America alone. There's like over 50,000 people in America alone that are over 100 years of age. Now, you don't hear about that, you know. There's one news station in the morning, I remember years ago, I don't know if they still do it or not, you know, they celebrate this person over here is 100 years old, and you think, wow, you know, this person's 100 years old. Wow, look, there's somebody that's 100 years, there's thousands of people over 100 years of age. Over 50,000 in America alone. Forget about those eating yogurt up in the mountains of wherever. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's some old people out there. I mean, somebody is 118 years old right now. I mean, you know, you could Google it. There's all kinds of people out there. Now, a lot of them that are old, they've asked them, you know, what's your secret for long life? And a lot of them, you know, talk about not holding things against people, not being an angry person, just forgiving, loving people, and trust God. You know, a lot of them, they'll say, trust God. I read my Bible. I trust God. And that's a lot of their testimonies. Just resting, trusting, not all entangled with the affairs of life, not all eaten up with worry and strife and all these things, just really carefree, laid-back folks. Many of them. And some of them even smoke cigars, drink alcohol, and do all kinds of crazy things. But the attitude of their heart is just that of a person that's carefree. And if anybody should be carefree, it's you and me. Because we have the Lord who's telling us, cast all your care on me, for I care for you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to keep you alive. I'm going to make you successful and powerful. But yet so many people are worried about being successful and powerful and dying prematurely because of all the stress, because of all the worry. Faith doesn't worry. I said, faith doesn't worry. Faith isn't anxious about stuff. If you're anxious about stuff, you're out of faith. If you're out of faith, you're not operating according to your covenant with God, and you're unable to receive the promises of God in your life. So whenever you see yourself anxious and worried and all this business and being filled with strife, get out of that as fast as you can. Repent and get over here and say, no, I trust the Lord. I don't have a worry in the world. Hallelujah. I'm trusting in God. He's going to keep me long and keep me strong. Oh, the days of my long life. So if there's a number, it's 120. 120 years. Praise God, you can get a lot done in 120 years. Man, oh man, oh man, I've just laid the foundation for my life. I'm excited about building on it, man. Praise the Lord for another 50, 60, 70 years. Man, we can get a lot done. I said, we can do a whole lot. That's why we don't have to be anxious about anything. We don't have to sit and say, I'm not getting any younger. And I need to make it happen now. You know. No, it's the devil who knows he has a short time. We're not anxious about anything. I've got a long time. I can get a lot done. I mean, what can we get done with another 30, 40, 50, 60 years? Don't have to be in a rush. Don't have to be in a panic about anything. Can be laid back and trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And notice God even made a distinction. We talked about Caleb last week. God made a distinction and brought up Caleb and Joshua and said, now all these people are going to die in the wilderness over the next 40 years. Except for Joshua and Caleb. And we saw one of the reasons why Caleb, at 84 years of age, was strong and fired up. It was because he believed the promises of God. He trusted in God. In fact, after service last week, Brother Michael was telling me about a man 100 years old who was skydiving. Right? Didn't he just do some skydiving? 100 years old. Praise God. I like that guy. 100 years old. I think I'll go skydiving. Never did that before. Let's try that. Something new. See, we got to get our minds renewed. Some of you are looking at me. You know, this is impossible. Well, it will be for you. But if you get your mind renewed, as your mind is renewed, your strength will be renewed day by day by day. Your youth will be restored to you. And you'll be able to live a very long and happy life. And he says, with a long life, I will satisfy him. You know, he's given us the 120 years as a promise. But he says here, I will satisfy him. So really, it's not so much about a quantity of years as it is a quality of life. In other words, we want to live until we're satisfied. Not fed up. Not fed up. Not, I'm done with this. I just want to go and be with Jesus. But God wants us to live a long, satisfying life. He doesn't want us to get to the place where we're fed up. He wants us to the place where we know we have fulfilled what he's called us to do. And what he's got for you to do might be more than just having a couple kids and watch them grow up and get to see your grandkids. I'm satisfied I got to see my grandchildren. Okay. I mean, God might want you to make more of an impact upon the world. Amen. Now, your grandkids can be a part of that. But it might be more than just the grandkids. I'm just saying, God's got a big vision for us. Let's make sure we're fulfilling his purpose for our life and not just our own little tiny vision that caused us to be satisfied with such a little life. Let's get a big vision. And as the vision gets bigger, we go, well, I'm going to have to be around here for a while. I mean, this is a pretty big vision. I mean, this is a lot here that God's got for me to do. I got some work to do. I got to keep going. It's going to take a long time to get all this done. We want a bigger vision. A bigger vision would mean more to do, and it would take more to be satisfied to the point where we're finished. That's exciting. I said, that's exciting to me. That's living a full and satisfying, overflowing life. And I want to live that kind of life, don't you? Another scripture people look at and use it in connection to aging is over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. Remember, we talked about that we're not to age as we get older. We're to ripen, get stronger. Not age in that we're deteriorating physically. But a lot of folks use this scripture here over in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. It says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So you see a lot of folks say, yep, that's right. You know, our spirit, the inward man, is getting stronger every day as we're growing in faith, growing in our relationship with God, going through tests and trials. We're getting stronger on the inside, but we're getting older on the outside. The outward man is perishing while the inward man's getting stronger. And a lot of folks think that's aging. He's talking about aging, getting older and aging. Perishing. And you know, if you just take a verse out of its setting and run away with it, you could make it say that. That's why we study the word. We don't just look at a scripture and not look at it in its context and understand really what he's talking about. Now, I know that can't be true just from all these other scriptures we've been talking about. If you're getting stronger on the inside, the Bible promises that if you're getting stronger in your faith, getting stronger in your spirit, it's affecting your bones, it's affecting your body. It's affecting your physical health. So how can he be sitting here saying, our strength's being renewed on the inside, but on the outside we're perishing? You know, and that perishing means we're aging. How could he say that? When Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30 says, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Ooh, man. That should make you run from envy. You start feeling any kind of jealousy or anything towards somebody, run. For your bone's sake. How many people want blessed bones? Yeah, see? But notice that envy in your heart is going to affect your bones. But a sound heart is going to affect your body. A sound heart is going to be life to your body. Everybody say body. Body, see? Not just your spirit, but your sound heart affects your body. He's not talking about your heart, your blood pumper either. He's not talking about, he's talking about your spirit. When he's talking about heart here, he's talking about your spirit. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So there again, the condition of your spirit is affecting your body. If your spirit is in good shape, if your spirit, we can say, is being renewed day by day, what's happening to your body? It's receiving medicine. Medicine is being injected into your body, from your spirit to your body. Health, strength is being injected into your body. So how can he say the outward man's perishing if the inward man's being renewed day by day? When he says an inward man being renewed is medicine to your body, it's strength to your body, it's renewing your physical strength. How can he say that? Well, then we know we're not reading it right. So we got to go back and take a closer look at it. And we, let's back up here now. We were at verse 16, 2 Corinthians. Let's look at verse 9. Oh, verse 8. Verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. What's he talking about here? He's talking about heavy, heavy persecution. He's talking about going through some major, major trials and tests in life. And he says in verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Two times here, he talks about the life of Jesus being manifested in our bodies. So then death is working in us, but life in you. What kind of death is he talking about? The dying of the Lord Jesus. What do you mean? That means suffering, laying down your life for the cause of Christ. He's talking about suffering, the kind of suffering that Jesus suffered, being a sacrifice for other people's sins. Paul was giving his life for the gospel, and it was putting his life on the line every day. Verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. In all this persecution, in all these attacks against our life, we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing. In other words, the outward man, our physical man, is being put through it every day for the sake of the gospel, because of the persecution, because of the adversity that was coming against him, being one of those apostles that is on the front lines of getting the gospel to others. So he's talking about a perishing that is the result of persecution, not the result of aging. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What is the light of, what is he calling light affliction? All these terrible things that he's going through as the result of persecution. Let me give you some other scriptures over here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, Paul the apostle, he makes this statement in verse 30. He says, and why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. I die daily. What do you mean? He's in jeopardy. I mean, he's facing death, danger constantly. That's what he's talking about. The outward man perishes. I die daily. What does this all have to do with? It all has to do with persecution. All this persecution, all his life being threatened. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. He begins to describe some of the perishing, some of the dying daily that he was experiencing. He says in verse 25, three times I was beaten with rods. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Sounds like a guy's perishing. Sounds like a guy that's dying daily. But he keeps getting back up because of that resurrection life. Because the life of Jesus is being made manifest in his mortal body. In other words, if it wasn't for the life of Jesus being manifested in his mortal body, he would have been killed a lot sooner in life. He would never have survived all this. But the life of his spirit being renewed day by day, what was causing the life of Jesus to be manifest in his body, so that he was overcoming, being beaten with rods, being stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, out there in the ocean, floating around, waiting for someone to rescue him. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Perils. What's that? Danger, jeopardy. Every day this man is on the verge of dying, of being killed. His outward man was perishing, but his inward man was being renewed. It was medicine to his body, and it kept him going through all these things. Praise God. So that at the end of it all, he says, I have run my race with joy. And I have finished it. How do you run that kind of race with joy? But he had joy locked up in prison after being beaten. There he is at midnight, rats running around the place. And he begins to praise and magnify God. Hallelujah. To the point where that prison door shook, the power of God, the life of Jesus manifested in there. And the prison doors were open and their chains fell off. Ooh, hallelujah. He just kept overcoming. He just kept experiencing one victory after the other. He was experiencing the life of Jesus in the midst of his life being in danger, in jeopardy constantly. If he can overcome all that, why would the little stresses of life? He calls it light affliction, by the way. He said, these light afflictions. What an attitude. We look at one bill and it's like, I can't stand the weight of it all. Right? Bunch of murmuring gripers in the wilderness. Sorry, don't mean to offend anybody. Just trying to help you come on over and repent if you need to. I can't, the weight of it all. People have a few little things. The weight of it all. This man's being beaten. This man's being stoned. This man's being thrown in prison. This man's being lied about. This man's got it all. How do you, he's out there in the deep? Nighttime, daytime, sharks going around it. Dun, 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 dun. I mean, you talk about stress. And he says, it's these light afflictions, which are just for a moment. Wow. That man would have lived a very, very long life if he had not laid his life down finally as a martyr. Because he said, I'm finished and I want to go. I'm done. And how many people know he lived a very full and active life. I mean, it was an amazing life this man lived. It's an amazing life. Full life. 62 years old. He's like, I'm good. And he was thrust through with a sword and died. And here we are stressing. Stressing over the littlest things in life. Magnifying them, making such a big deal out of it. Let's get this man's attitude. These are light afflictions. The things we're facing in this world, come on. All our cares are in prison at midnight, his cares are cast on the Lord. He's not sitting there going, how did I get in this? How am I going to get out of this? He's like, I cast all my cares on the Lord. Oh, the Lord's so good. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good to me. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. You and I have the same God. You and I have the same life of Jesus working on the inside of us. Let's let that life renew us day by day by feeding on his word, spending time with him, and loving the Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as we do, I'm telling you, we'll become virtually indestructible. Stronger and better. Can you imagine being better and stronger 10 years from now? Now, some of you are going to have to really pull yourself, your thinking, out of where it's been. But you can do it. You could do it if you go get the recording of this and listen to it again and again. Think about it. Talk about it. See yourself living a long life. Yes, 100, no problem. 120. 120. Unless I get everything done and I'm really, really satisfied and I've really satisfied the heart of God, then maybe I'll go sooner. Or if I lay myself life down as a martyr, you know, that's always a possibility as well. You know, who knows what the future holds. But it's not, we're not afraid of that. I say, because we're not afraid of dying. You know, we're not here because we don't want to go there. You know, a lot of people, they just want to stay here because they don't want to go there. Well, they just don't know about there. There is an awesome place. I'm talking about heaven. Heaven's a great place. So, you know, I have no problem going to heaven today. But I know there's more to do. I know that's not God's best. And I want his best. Because it's all about him. It's all about pleasing him. It's not about me. It's not about you pleasing yourself. It's about us glorifying God, pleasing him, and doing his work so that he's fully satisfied. And when we know he's satisfied, I believe that's when we will be satisfied. When we know we've run our race, we've done what he's called us to do, we've done it right, we got the job done, then we'll know we've pleased the heart of God. And now there's just crowns waiting for us. Just crowns waiting for us for when we rise up out of this place and see him face to face. And friend, we're going to see him face to face. Before you know it, 120 years is nothing. I mean, it's nothing. And the next thing you're going to see, 120 years, my goodness, I don't know if I could believe that. Listen, you're going to live for eternity. We're just talking about your location. That's what we're talking about. You can hang out here for 120 years. You're going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever. Now, if you can believe you're going to live forever there, surely you can accept hanging out down here for 110, 120 years. Can you do it? Yes, we can. I said, yes, we can. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord for renewing our mind concerning long life. My outward man is being renewed day by day as I renew my mind with the word of God. Hallelujah. Did you get your mind renewed a little bit today? Well, then your strength's been renewed. If you believed it. If you believed it. If you believed it, then you've embraced it. And now you're just looking forward to speaking what you believe. You want to say what you believe. So let's say some things right now. Let's say some things right now. To ourselves, to the Lord. Say this with me. Say, I will live long.
I will live long.
On the earth. I'm going to live for eternity. But I'm going to live long on the earth. I'm going to live until I'm satisfied. And my health, my physical strength is getting better and better every day. My bones have life working in them. All my joints are full of life. Every cell of my body celebrates life. It submits to the author of life, the Holy Spirit. Death, and sickness, and infirmity can't survive in me. The life of God swallows it up, destroys it. In Jesus' name, I'm living long and strong. I'm getting stronger every day by the grace of God. According to the word of God, I am strong in the Lord and in his power and his might. I can run against a troop. I can leap over a wall. I'm getting more flexible. I'm durable. I'm not envious. I'm not jealous. I don't get mad at people. I forgive people. I love people. I trust God with people. I'm not going to worry. I cast all my cares on the Lord. Lord, all my cares I give to you. Help me to never take them again. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm living a worry-free life. How about you? I'm just not going to worry.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.